Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the Boxing Podcast. We're sponsored by 32 Red. I'm your host, Dev Sarney, and with me is a man who used to be a bit fat, but isn't anymore. It's Steve Lillis. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, Dev. I was fat, now I'm thin, or whatever you want to call me. Yeah. But you know what I feel like? I feel like the Sergei Kovalev of this podcast. You know, I'm an old stager that's still punching.
Oh yeah, you still got the power, ain't you?
You still got the power. I'm like Kovalev, you know. I bounce back from all that fat and getting knocked out by Alvarez, and when I come back, I was the beast I was 5-6 years ago.
Goodness me! And you can hear that in your voice this week as well, Stephen. I can tell you've got something on your mind. You've got a real fiery "What you talking about, Lillis?" coming up later on the show, and I look forward to that this week. Look, we can't even mess about. There's too much going on. There's so much going on. We've got Josh Warrington. We've got Kid Galahad. We hear from Frank Warren, Lerone Richards, Leon Woodstock. I've probably forgotten a couple, but here we go. It's another week. It's another episode of the Boxing Podcast. Enjoy. Well, it has been a busy week in boxing. On Tuesday, Josh Warrington and Kid Galahad came face-to-face for the first time ahead of their June 15th clash for the IBF World Featherweight title. It will take place at the First Direct Arena in Leeds. That's Warrington's hometown. And tickets go on sale on Friday. Here's what Josh Warrington had to say after a very fiery press conference.
Josh, you've had the press conference with your pal Barry from Sheffield today. What did you make of what he was throwing at you and saying?
Didn't say much, to be honest with you, Steve. Did he? Dominic over there, we're doing most of talking for him. Let's say he's more loud on social media when he's behind his phone, when he's had time to think about it, but when he's put on his toes, he doesn't really know what to say. Got Dom to say it for him.
It was quite a fiery press conference, but the face-off looked quite spiteful. It looked like all the talking was coming for you while he was smiling. What were you saying to him?
I was just telling him, look deep in his eyes, say, you know, you're in for another night, you're having it, simple as that. And he couldn't control his emotion. Dominic had to tell him how to control his emotion, and I give him a lot of bow and he jumps out of his skin. You know, I don't think he's confident mentally. He believes he's weak because the shit he talks, but I think it's all the cover, it's all the persona. When he's alone at night, when he goes to sleep, you know, thoughts are running through his head. He'll be nervous, he'll be shitting himself. Dom can talk all talking he wants, but end of the day, when that first bell goes, it's me and him. Yeah, he can help him in corner in between rounds, but when they start talking, then it's a different kettle of fish.
How do you think you win the fight besides your incredible engine? That doesn't guarantee a win, an engine, does it?
And like I was trying to make out there, you know, John O'Carroll went out on the weekend, and he gave a fantastic effort against Farmer, and he kept on pushing, and he kept on pushing, but it just wasn't enough. You know, people just talk about me as having my fantastic engine. Yeah, I do have a very good engine, but, you know, I think it's a positive. They don't look at anything else I do too much, and I know I can adapt. At least I've been Carl Frampton, two different fighters, able to adapt. On my road up to the world title, I know, boxing different folk, Kiko Martinez, Agassa, all different sizes and styles. I can deal with it, I'm experienced, I know how to do the 12 rounds well. You know, people talk about him as awkward. I don't see him as awkward. You know, we've already looked at ways we can, you know, nullify that. He's not an awkward fighter. You know, he believes he's super strong in this stand. What are you going off? The Muppets that he's knocked over. The Eastern European taxi drivers. Come on, man. I think I've proven it, you know, that I can stand at the top level with you know, in terms of toe-to-toe and physicality as well. I don't think he has. So we're yet to see, but I don't think he's as strong as me. I don't think any featherweight in the world is.
In that answer, you've sold the fight as to why you're the favourite. What's it like being the favourite this time after the last two fights against Selby when you was an underdog and Carl Frampton when you were just about the underdog?
It was nice to just prove them wrong, but in same respect, on the road up to the top, I was always the favourite there, you know, and some of the fighters I was fighting were fringe world level fighters, you know what I mean, and they could have been easily world title defences, but you know, I was always the favourite in them, and I always looked at it that there's someone in their opposite corner who wants to try and be where I am, so you know, I've got to stay focused, got to stay switched on. We're starting on the road to unifying the division, and he's the man stood in my way. I've just got to deal with him. Simple as that.
Everyone says after they fought you, Selby, Frampton, this guy's saying it beforehand, that you're better than what you look. Do you still feel you're not getting enough respect from boxing?
I won't say that now. You know, I'd say over the last 12 months, I've had positive messages and you know, people speaking really well. So really appreciate that. And you know, end of the day, whether it's the positive or negative, you've just got to focus on what you want to do. You can't let anyone, back, you know, get in your head or discredit you. Because at the end of the day, if I were to do that, I'd have never made it to where I am now. You know, turn it into a positive and keep on pushing, and that's where I am now. I'll turn all, you know, the thing of being favourite. I'll show why I'm the favourite, and that's what you do. And I'll train for this fight just like I do any other.
A very vocal thing at the press conference was his drugs ban. Do you feel 18 months was long enough, or should he have got a life ban?
Life ban, simple as that. And it's one of them, it's how it works, isn't it? You know, we've got fighters who are present, who are still boxing now. The thing is with them, like, majority of them show a bit of remorse, and it's like, oh, I didn't mean for it to happen, I didn't mean to eat that, I didn't mean to take that nasal spray. Whereas he's like, so what? And it's like, disgrace. You know, life's online. It's arrogance, it's the way that he conducts himself, cause of power. You can't feel sorry for him. Our sport's a bit funny in that sense, isn't it? So he's been given golden head. That gives me more motivation to fight him. Do you know what I mean? It's a disgrace.
Well, that was IBF World Featherweight Champion Josh Warrington. He's confident. He's fired up. He doesn't like Barry's attitude. Let's hear from mandatory challenger 26-0 Kid Galahad.
Barry, a lively press conference. Your thoughts after coming face-to-face with the champion Josh Warrington today?
Yeah, you know, everything expected. He's the same old, isn't he? You know, trying to sell the fight.
Do you think his emotions could get the better of him on the night? Because you're emotionless, it seems to me.
Listen, it is what it is. You know, that's just, you know, like I said in the past, you know, I was, you know, emotions can in this game can get you seriously hurt, you know, and he's an emotional man, you know. He always goes in there with his, you know, heart on his sleeve. So, you know, when we get in there, it's going to be a very exciting night. It's going to be a very good night for me because I'm going to go in there and it's going to be... people are going to expect a very, very even fight, but it's going to be a one-sided beatdown.
Why is it going to be one-sided beatdown given his form in his last two fights?
Yeah, you know, listen, he's had two good wins. He's come from, you know, he's boxed there, Lee Selby and Carl Frampton, you know, when Lee Selby boxed him for that fight, I actually sparred Lee Selby, and I sparred Lee Selby for his last fight, and he's a completely different fighter, you know. He was dead at the weight, he was dead, you know, he was completely dead, but listen, it is what it is. You've got to give him credit. I'm expecting expecting him to be even better than them two performances, but, you know, like I said, I believe I'm better than him in every single department.
And has Nazim Hamid got you into boxing? Has the Prince given you any tips on how to win this fight?
Yeah, you know, he rang me. I don't want to really go into too much detail, but he rang me and said to me a few things, and I took him in.
Was Josh Warrington the sort of fighter Naz would have loved fighting, do you think?
It wouldn't have lasted more than three rounds with Naz.
And how long do you think it lasts with you then?
Six, no more than six.
Do you still think his dad could pull him out? I know you've made that statement often. Are you still of that thinking?
Yeah, 100%. Listen, his dad... Is that his real? Well, I don't really know how it works. Is that his full dad?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Then yeah, 100%. You know, his dad's going to be very emotional, and slinging the towel. Wouldn't you sling in the towel if your son's getting beat up from pillar to post?
I'm not a trainer. I might have the mentality of a trainer. If it was me, I might have his mentality.
You know, when you've got a trainer, it's a bit different. But I'm saying when it's father and son, it's completely different. You know, him seeing watching his son get beat up from pillar to post, he's going to sling in the towel.
And what about the pit of hate you're going to receive on the night?
Listen, it is what it is. If you want to be a champion, that's what you've got to do. You know, I'm not in this game to make friends. I'm not here to be loved. I don't really care about all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm here to win. I'm winning style.
Why are you so emotionless?
Listen, this is just how it is, you know. I don't know. Probably just the way I've been brought up, grew up, you know. Just how it is.
How was you brought up, man?
Very, very rough.
How rough? Give me an example of how rough it was for you and your family.
There was nine of us in the house, like Nassim Hamed, and we used to live in a three-bedroomed house. Really didn't have much, you know, we used to live in Liverpool. It was that bad sometimes, we couldn't even go outside because there was shootings every day. But listen, you know, this sport, it makes champions, and I believe if you want to be great and be a good champion, you've got to come from some form of tenacity, some form of roughness in this game.
And what do you think of Josh as a person now?
He's all right, you know. I think he's just trying to sell the fight, being a bit like, oh, you know, he's a bit like a washed up Vinnie Jones, you know, trying to be the, you know, I'm a football hooligan and, you know, all this kind of shit. But genuinely, he's all right.
Because you knew him as kids, didn't you?
Yeah, I still listen. All this, what you see on here is all front. You know, in real life, he's actually a nice kid. He's just trying to come across, like, you know, trying to sell the fight. Frank's told him, listen, we've forked out a lot of money here. You've got to sell this fight.
Wow. So Kid Galahad says it's going to be a one-sided beatdown. He says it won't go six rounds. He says that Josh Warrington's dad is going to throw in the towel. What says you?
Well, I don't agree with anything. I'm not ruling his chances out of winning, but if he does win, it certainly won't be by a old-fashioned beatdown. I don't think it's going to be a beatdown, but I'm certainly not ruling out Barry Awad or Kid Galahad, whatever you want to know him by at this stage. He's a very good boxer, very clever, and from that Ingalls school. But that press conference was very prickly, Dev. You were also there. There's subplots to this fight as well, which makes it more intriguing. There's the amateur rivalry, but I'm not one of those people that rule into that. The big thing is, the Galahad drugs bust a few years ago. That was very paramount at the press conference. And I think that sort of thing is going to be jabbed into Galahad every time they come face to face. And how will he react to this come the end of the training camp when they do that final face-off? And he's had that rammed down his throat in almost every interview Josh Warrington does for 6 weeks. They stare at each other, look in the cameras, and they're both doing weight. There'll be hate in the air.
Yeah, there really is. And you could tell as soon as Galahad started talking, so this press conference took place at a kind of theatre in Leeds. There was a ton of Warrington fans who came along middle of the day, but they were out there in good force. And as soon as Galahad started talking, the Leeds fans, the Warrington fans, were really on his case. They were calling him all sorts of stuff. And you could see Dominic Ingall took a real spot in that press conference of kind of protecting Kid Galahad at times, and he did a lot of the talking for Barry, which is not something that I expected to happen, but I think he felt quite protective. It's someone he's known since he was, what, 13, 14 years old, and he almost took like a kind of father figure in there, saying, hold on, leave our kid alone, as I'm sure they'd say up there. But one question that's been, it's been on my mind a lot, at 29 years old, is Kid Galahad still a kid?
No, he's not a kid. That's why I call him Barry. In all the interviews, people call him Barry. They can get rid of the Kid Galahad name. It was fantastic to start with. It got him recognition early in his career. But at the end of the day, it's Barry from Sheffield, as Josh calls him, against the champion, Josh Warrington, who's had a magnificent 12 months.
Well, yeah, he has had a magnificent 12 months. I guess the question is there a danger now that he overlooks Kid Galahad? He's almost said as much himself, saying, I've gone from Lee Selby, Carl Frampton to Barry from Sheffield. It's that kind of use of language. It kind of plays down Kid Galahad in this fight. Is there a danger that he gets overlooked?
Not at all, Dev. I don't believe that for a second. Josh Warrington has worked too hard to get where he is today. People think of him as just this massive ticket seller. But you remember at the start of his career, he was boxing on undercards when he wasn't selling tickets. He's been on cards where people have been sweeping up at night. You know, he's been in the banqueting suite at Ellen Road, where you've held press conferences, a sports centre in Doncaster, leisure centres in Huddersfield. He's boxed at all these sort of venues at the underbelly of boxing almost. And he's at the stage of his career now where in the next 18 months or so, it's going to take a hell of a good man to beat him. And he's come too far to throw it all away. Because, you know, he has to have this fight because it's a mandatory. But he knows what he's on the brink of. Those wins against Selby and Frampton have pulled him among not just a world champion, but among boxing's elite. He's come too far to throw it away for nothing by overlooking someone. He wouldn't even overlook me or you if we got down to 9 stone.
It's been a while, Steve. I'll be honest, it's been a while. But what one thing I'll say there is, in his interview, Warrington did say Galahad's only beaten Eastern European cab drivers. I'm sure that's not true, but the sentiment there is that Galahad hasn't beaten anyone of any note. But something I just want to point out is there was no form line heading into the Selby fight to suggest that Josh Warrington was going to do what he did in his next two fights. Nothing at all. I mean, maybe his best win was Kiko Martinez. And in that fight, he struggled. Yeah, he had a layoff, but it was a tough fight against Kiko Martinez, who you've seen, you know, Carl Frampton, how Carl Frampton dealt with Martinez. So there's nothing in the form line to suggest he could go on and have the year that he did. So I wouldn't look too closely at who Kid Galahad's beat to this point. Everyone kind of has their moment, right?
Yeah, you know what? I found that, you know, I'm a big fan of Josh. I know him very well. His manager, Steve Woods, you know, a friend of mine away from boxing, you know, so one of my few friends in boxing I see outside of the sport. But you look at Galahad's record, there's some decent wins on there. You know, I mean, Jason Booth was past it, I've got to be honest. Josh Wow went on and won British titles. And when he beat Jazza Dickens, and that was all getting on for six years ago, Dickens was unbeaten and one of the most talked about prospects in British boxing then. So you've got to give him some sort of credit for that. The win in America last year, which would have now the mandatory place against Tucker Khan Cleary, was decent. And, you know, he beat Adelson Dos Santos, who, you know, we know got wiped out in a world title fight, but come over and fought Michael Condon last year. Mm. So it's not quite as bad. Look, there isn't a world-class featherweight in there, but there's decent, you know, there's been guys who have gone and fought for world titles and won them, having fought much worse fighters.
Well, yes, exactly that, Steve. That's certainly something to remember. The man who won the purse bids to stage this June 15th cracker was, of course, Hall of Fame boxing promoter Frank Warren. He was at the press conference, and here he is with Steve Lillis.
Frank, fantastic sellout fight that's going to be here at Leeds. Josh Warrington defending against mandatory challenger Kid Galahad. Break the fight down for us.
It's a mandatory defence, two undefeated fighters. Kid Galahad's got their own merit by fighting his way into a position of becoming the mandatory challenger. And that's where we are. The IBF have ordered it. I wanted to get a unification match for Josh, but this is what they've ordered the IBF. So he said, I'm not vacating any belts and moving for another title. I want to fight this guy. There's history between us. Let's get it on. So we've got it on.
So was you really close to the Valdez fight, I presume?
Yeah, we were quite close. He was injured, obviously, Valdez, and out for a while, but we were talking. But anyway, we are where we are now, so we just got to focus, or Josh has got to focus on that. And that's the fight that we're going to have. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's a tasty little fight. The press conference has been a bit lively, so I think we're going to be I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere on the night.
And, of course, Kid Galahad, I'm not saying he's raw, but he mentioned the comment you made about him being bottom of the pile, so he's out to prove you wrong, I guess, as well.
He is, but, he's bottom of my list. I wanted unification matches. That weren't no disrespect towards him, but that's what it is. But the fact is, now he's now top of that pile, so we've got that fight on, and, you know, if he wants to prove me wrong in a ring, terrific. That's going to be great for the fans. They're going to see a bit more out of him.
When you first signed Josh Warrington, nobody expected him to get to these dizzy heights. I was going to say, you did. I remember you said to me, he's a good fighter. What did you see that everyone else seemed to miss in him?
I think I see a lot of determination in him. I think it was him getting, and people having, somebody having, look, obviously, you know, his dad and people around him got belief in him, but somebody, I think, working on his behalf, having that belief in him. And I had that belief in him. I felt, you know, I made a birdie to go to him. I spoke to his manager at the time, Steve Wood, and I made him a very lucrative offer to, on behalf of Queensbury, for him to fight and come and fight for us. And that's what he did. And we've been loyal to him, and we worked very hard for him. And that's translated from his perspective and from the fans' perspective to some really great fights and fantastic performances against world-class fighters, where he's not shaded them, and he's won these fights and won them, you know, I've got to say comfortably, but won them in good style.
In the current form he's in, is he at that stage of his career that so many fighters have, where for 18 months, 2 years, they're untouchable?
I think he's the best featherweight in the world. I genuinely think in a unification match he'll beat any of them. I really mean that.
Why?
Because he can fight. He can fight. He's got. I use the phrase, he's got a great work rate, he's got a great engine, he's got a good chin. He can punch. Don't worry about people saying he's not a puncher. Go and ask Carl. When I spoke with Carl Frampton after his fight, a couple of weeks after the fight, and he said he buzzed me. So I said, all these people saying he can't punch, he said he can punch, and he can, and he's getting more confident. He sets the pace for the fight. You know, he seems to get the fight into the groove he wants it to be. When that bell goes, he controls that the tempo of the fight, and he's done that against good quality fighters. I mean, Lee Selby at the time, a lot of people were saying he was the best pound for pound fighter in the UK. I mean, there was no one in it, was there? He won that by a mile, that fight. He controlled the fight in every department. He outpunched him, he outgained him, he outboxed him in every way.
looking at just looking at one or two, you have a fight, there's any news on Tyson Fury when there might be something definitive?
There's a lot of talks going on at the moment. Hopefully some announcement within, I hope it'll be within the next, maybe even the next few days, but certainly within the next week, I believe.
And in April, you're going to Wembley with a lot of your prospects, Daniel Dubois.
Yep.
How was it for you when he beat Cavano so easily the other week?
Well, I'd say, didn't he do a job? I mean, you know, when you think he went the distance with, was it a while ago, only a couple of fights before, with Parker, who was the world champion at the time. And they see what he did. And you look when he fought Ortiz. Ortiz didn't do that to him. And this is a kid who's got, that was his 10th pro fight. And he only had 7 senior bouts as an amateur.
How great is it for these young fighters to be going to a venue like Wembley Arena so young in their career? Because you used to world title fights there, but you're going there with your stack stable of prospects.
Yeah, well, that's what they are. They're all young kids. We've got to keep building the next generation and giving them exposure, and that's what it's all about. And they're coming through. We've got some great young fighters who we work with, and you know, we had that really, I think it was a good quality show, an exciting show at the Albert Hall, Royal Albert Hall, a few weeks ago. And you know, these guys are going from strength to strength, and they'll be the stars of the future.
Are we going to see Dubois Gorman this year? Are we going to wait another year?
No, I'm going to do it this year. We're going to do it by the end of the year, definitely.
Well, you just heard Frank Warren mention the next generation of British boxing stars coming through on his upcoming show at the Wembley Arena on April 27th. Well, here's a man getting his chance to shine on that stage. 11-0 super middleweight talent Lerone Sniper the Boss Richards gets a step-up fight against former British middleweight champion Tommy Langford. They fight for the vacant Commonwealth title at super middleweight. Here's what the new Malden slickster had to say to Richard Hubbard.
Lerone Richards, big fight, April 27th, Wembley Arena. Tommy Langford, you've got to be happy with that.
Oh, great fight, and a great name as well, so I can't wait.
You've had to be a little bit patient in terms of names being willing to sign up and fight you. Were you reaching a point where it was kind of getting a bit frustrating, or you didn't think it was going to happen?
Do you know, I've been very, very patient, and there's been times where I felt, oh, that I wasn't going to get a fight. I'm just glad now I've got that fight and it's time for me to shine. No excuses now. Serious business.
Do you think it's your own fault you were getting those fights because people were looking at you thinking, I don't want a piece of that?
Yeah, I'm part of the Who Wants Him club.
Well, your style does kind of lend itself towards that, doesn't it?
Yeah, the sweet science. The sweet science style. People don't want to fight.
Now, you've altered your lifestyle slightly, I understand. You're no longer an employee of Tesco. So is this a case of you dedicating yourself fully to your craft?
Exactly. And it obviously gives me no opportunity to now rest when I need to rest and train harder.
How are you finding a difference in yourself physically and mentally now you're not doing the 8-10 hour shifts?
Oh, big difference. I'm much more happy. I get more rest, meaning I can get more out of my training. Obviously, I've got a new strength and conditioner on board, Cameron Goff, which works me extremely hard now. Obviously, got Al and that, where I spend a lot of time with. And big difference, and you'll see it on the night.
How does your day work out now? Because we know Al trains the iBox boys in the evening. Do you sort of stay in bed in the morning, or how does your day work out?
No, I'd run in the morning. I still do the same routine. I run in the morning, I go home, I rest. Then I'll have training in the afternoon or the evening, depending whether I've got yoga in the evening. I'll do training in the afternoon. So it all varies on what sort of things I have to do.
So are we going to see a new, improved Sniper the Boss?
Absolutely. And, you know, I can't wait. As you can see the smile on my face, I'm really happy. And it's been a long time coming.
Commonwealth title on the line, which is another good belt for you to get.
It is, absolutely. Credible. And it's pushed me it will push me in line for the British title later on this year, so I can't wait.
Tommy, we know all about Tommy. He used to be with us. He's had a couple of setbacks. I mean, he reached a high level, didn't he? I mean, interim world title fight against Curt Seedes. He got caught. That can happen. And then he had two absolute epic fights. I mean, he was British champion. Two epic fights with Wellborn, which unfortunately didn't go his way. What's your assessment of him?
I've got a lot of respect for Tommy. He's a gentleman. He's very underrated. I think he's a very good boxer. He's got a good engine as well. So it's going to be a tough night's work, but I'm more than happy to... Well, I signed a contract, didn't I? So I can't wait now to do the business.
How would you imagine the fight playing out? Do you think it would be quite technical? I mean, Tommy, by his own admission, isn't a one-punch knockout artist, and probably neither are you. So is it one of these fights that would maybe sort of a technical fight over the distance?
We'll see. I don't know what Tommy's going to bring to the table, but whatever he does, I will adjust. People might think I'm a counter puncher. I can box on the front foot too, so don't get it twisted. I can box very, very, very well on the back foot too. So, and inside the pocket, mid range and short range, I can do it all. So, we'll see what happens in the night.
Are we going to see a more aggressive approach from you, sort of? Because, like I say, people like a bit of blood and thunder, don't they? And I suppose entertainment, TV fights, sometimes is what people want to see. Is that something you're maybe thinking, maybe compromise on your principles a little bit? You're a bit of a purist. And maybe sort of show a bit more cut and thrust in there.
Well, look, I'm just going to do Lerone Richards. Lerone snapping the boss Richards. That's all I'm going to do. That's what I'm good at. That's what's got me here. I'm going to continue to do that. And listen, if I hit him and I rock him, I will finish. Absolutely. But you'll see Lerone snapping the boss Richards in that, well, in that ring that day, putting on a good show.
Would you admit, though, that sometimes perhaps you've enjoyed yourself a little bit too much in the ring and probably haven't got jobs done as quickly as you possibly could?
Absolutely. It's a good question. I just feel like I've done what I had to do. I have enjoyed it a lot in the ring, and a lot of people do criticise me for not finishing the show. But you'll see a new Lerone Richards on the night, trust me.
But your own stable mate, Bradley Skeet, who obviously you all know very well and respect, he said he even had a word with you at one point about making statements and maybe not dragging things on too much. Was it something you took on board?
Absolutely. I think people underrate my punching power too. I can hit. I'm just a purist. I love the sweet science of boxing. So we'll see what happens on the night. We'll see.
Your own trainer, Alan Smith, very respected man in boxing, he waxes lyrical about you probably more than he would about any other fighter. Probably says you're the most naturally gifted boxer in this country. Does he say that sort of thing to you, or does he just say it to everyone else?
He doesn't really say it much to me. He does tell me I'm special sometimes, but I know I am. So it's not, Al doesn't need to tell me. Frank Warren doesn't need to tell me. Francis Warren don't need to, no one needs to tell me. As long as I know, that's the main.
Just finally, if you do manage to navigate a way past Tommy Langford, what would you like the rest of the year to hold for you?
Maybe a defence of the Commonwealth title, or maybe straight British title. We'll see what's available.
The British title has been kind of stagnant for a little while, hasn't it? Because of Zach Parker getting injured, wasn't it? He had got the Darrell Williams sort of thing going on. So, I mean, there could be a little delay on that, I guess.
Yeah, I think Zach Parker should rematch Darrell Williams. In my opinion, a lot of people's opinion, I feel that Darrell won that fight. Maybe he wants to prove everyone wrong and show everyone what he's all about. I do think that Zach Parker's a better fighter than that. But obviously, because his shoulder when you can't help him. He done well to push through. Showed his character, you know, right?
An old stable mate of yours, Darrell, is that a fight you'd entertain at some point?
Yeah, if he wants it. There'll be a Commonwealth title on the line now. It'll be more like, before they'll mention about the English title, and I would take the fight, absolutely. But it's not enough. And obviously, me winning a Commonwealth title, there'll be more at stake. So yeah, I'm sure Darrell might take that fight as well.
Big chance for Lerone, this. You hear so many stories about how good a boxer he is and, you know, how he's making big-name fighters look foolish in sparring. What can we expect from him on April 27th?
I want to see the Lerone Richards that all his gym mates and trainer Alan Smith tells me about, who goes in the gym, who makes people, as you say, look fools. It's well known that he's meant to have schooled Chris Eubank Jr. in sparring. In the ring so far, he's won all, was it 11 or 12 fights, but we've only seen glimpses of him, what he can really do. I just want to see him live up to this big tag that's put onto him by his gym mates like Bradley Skeet and his trainer, Alan Smith. One thing I didn't know, though, he comes from New Malden, Dev, and it's where most Koreans in Britain live.
Oh, OK. Well, do you think that Lerone can get his career up and running on April 27th, Steve? Come on, give me that.
All I'm going to tell you is to get off this podcast now. Your coat's on the hook. Off you go over there.
Well, he says it's going to be a new Lerone Richards. He says he wants to make a big statement. And if Tommy Langford is there for the taking, well, he's going to take him. He needs to, doesn't he, Steve?
He needs to just show what he can do. Because, you know, I'm getting fed up of being told by everyone how great he is. So come on, Lerone, show us what you can do. And if you come through Tommy in style, we know you've got it. Langford's a good fighter.
Well, that's April 27th at the SSC Arena, Wembley. Tickets are on sale for that. It's a big show. It's headlined by Daniel Dubois against tough African Richard Barty. He's got several knockouts. He's big, he's strong, he looks the part, and he's WBO number 14. So it's a chance for Dubois to gate crash the world rankings. Sonny Edwards on that show as well. Zach Chelly in a Southern Area super middleweight title fight. It's going to be an absolute cracker, and that's going to be live on BT Sport. Now, last week, you heard from British super featherweight champion Sam Bowen, who didn't speak favourably about fellow Leicester super featherweight Leon Woodstock. As far as he's concerned, Woodstock had his chance to step up and fight him when initial opponent Ronnie Clark pulled out, but he didn't take it. Well, here's what Leon Woodstock had to say on the phone, give his side of the story, to Steve Lillis.
Leon, thank you for coming on the boxing podcast yet again. Hey, we're just a few days out before your comeback fight or after your first defeat. How do you feel in these days leading up to the fight, especially after what you're coming back from?
I can't wait. I feel like this will be the... Because I've been on a little journey since the Unshot defeat. So I feel like this will be like the final chapter in the little journey that I've been on since that fight. So can't wait for it.
What's the journey been?
I think it's just been a lot of self-actualization and sorting out my surroundings and my own mental well-being.
So what would you say, sorting out your surroundings and your own mental well-being? What's that involved you doing?
Basically just getting rid of certain things, people, and just things in my life that are not really helping me get to where I need to get to, if that makes sense. And then obviously, there's been a lot of going on in my life, since I was a kid anyway, to this point now, that's took a big part in creating who I am today, but there's a lot of things that I'm not entirely happy with or sure about, which I've needed to address from, I'm talking years and years ago. So, yeah, it's just from my journey. That fight just kind of brought everything up and out, which has been suppressed for quite a few years, so... Just been dealing with all that.
When you talk about things that have been suppressed, what are they? Relationships with people, family?
I think it's a little bit of everything, to be honest. I'm not really going to specify into what, but it's a lot. If that makes sense, it's not just one specific thing.
So you've come through that journey. You're entering the last chapter at Leicester Arena this weekend. Through clearing out, doing what you had to do. Is your mind clearer, and are you a better person?
Honestly, that's all I've really been focusing on. I'm not even really, my goal was not just going to make me a better fighter. It's just so I can be the best version of me. And I've been carrying around a lot and not really addressed a lot of stuff in my life. And yeah, so I've just been sorting out all that, really. Sorting out my closet.
Yeah. So I know your mum's a big influence, someone you care for greatly, see her at your press conference. How's she been with you the last 5 months?
She's been fine. She's been all right, very supportive. She's been very attentive and made sure that everything I've needed and wanted has been sorted, and just to try to take as much stress off of me as possible so I can just focus on myself and boxing, really.
What's the mood been like in the gym with Harge and your great friend CJ Challenger? I mean, I visited the gym before the original date was postponed, and you all seemed in a great place, a happy place at that environment.
Yeah, it always is. And that gym and them people are my happy place, if that makes sense. That's my getaway from everything in the real world, if you like.
I get it, Bruce. You love that gym. Do you not like the real world, as you call it?
I wouldn't say I'm a big fan of the way society is today. That's the whole reason I'm doing all this, to be honest. To try and make some sort of impact or change.
What do you see yourself doing for the rest of this year in the boxing ring?
Trying to get that British title, man.
Yeah. I've got to ask you, on the podcast last week, Sam Bowen said you turned the fight down. Now, can you give me your version of that?
Well, it was 2 weeks. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm asking your version. He says you turned. There's two sides to every story. His version is you turned it down. What's your version?
Well, it was 2 weeks. So what smart person? that raised themselves in any kind of way, going to take a 12 round British title fight with 2 weeks' notice. I know my worth, and I know what I've come here to do, and I know what I'm about. That's ridiculous. And coming off of a loss as well, it's just stupid. It makes no sense whatsoever. Had I been given the same time to train as him, 100%, when the fight got moved back, I kept hanging on to hopes. potential. As I'm getting the belt fight, I'll fight him, I'll beat him, I'll take the belt, and it'll be one of the greatest comebacks ever. But obviously it didn't materialize, so it is what it is. But I'm telling you, that's my goal. Whether he's got it, whether someone else has, whether it's Nathan, I don't care. This year, 2019, end of 2019, in my head, Liverpool stuff will be the British champion.
And that, so give you the right notice, whenever you, and the right notice, the right terms, your fight, Sam Bowen.
Yeah, as long as it's fair.
You've been great to get on the podcast today, but before we let you go,
Going back to that, sorry to interrupt.
Cool, and you go back to it.
Yeah, I'll fight anyone, literally. Like, it don't matter who it is. You give me the date, right time, same amount of training, as long as it's all fair, I'll fight anybody. Turnbull Farmer, Javonte Davis, Sam Bowen, Archie Sharp again, anyone, self-fight, anyone. Don't matter, even about weight. I'll step up. I'm a fighter. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. That's my job. That's what I enjoy.
Yeah, I know you're a fighter and a very good one, but you mentioned a couple of names there. Javonte Davis, Tevin Farmer. Who's the best super featherweight in the world at the moment?
I'd say my favourite out of all
is
Javonte
Davis. Do you identify him a bit? Street kid, had a hard upbringing?
Most likely. I'd say so. That's probably why I'm gravitating towards him more. Like, well, in the world right now.
Yeah.
Like, if I was to choose, like, if you used to say to me, who do you want to fight super football out of anyone in the whole world, that's what I'd choose.
Before we let you go, we mentioned your friend CJ Challenger. He's fought against Carl Haywood, a battle of Leicester. How's CJ looking and how's he going to perform on the night?
Listen, he's looking sharp as anything. The guy is he's a tactician. He's like a sniper. So, I'm looking forward to this fight. And no doubt whatsoever in my mind, CJ will walk away with the title and leave Kyle Haywood, because that's CJ, man, that's our guy.
He's a real deep thinker, Leon. What impression do you get from him?
You know what? We know him pretty well, Dev, from seeing him around on the circuit. We have him on the podcast a lot, you know, and he's very friendly with yourself. I think you play these FIFA games and stuff against each other, don't you? I've seen pictures of you two getting, you know. Yeah. But I think he's one of those guys, you'll know from that, but you can't get to the bottom of what he's actually thinking, what he's actually doing. And he insinuated a couple of things about cleaning his life up since the Archie Sharp loss, but you don't get any more from that. I'm just doing that. And then the brick wall comes up, doesn't it? You know what? If he's become a better fighter for what he's done, it will only benefit boxing fans and that fight against Sam Bowen when it does happen. Look, I don't blame him for not taking the Bowen fight at 2 weeks' notice. There's a lot at stake, not just a British title. There's local bragging rights, and he's still a young upcoming fighter, only one defeat. It's not as if he's someone who's fouled in two or three previous British title attempts. So when the chance comes, you're not in a position to say no. So I don't blame him for that, but I really do hope, and I'm sure we will see that fight later this year, even though obviously Archie Sharps, who beat Leon Woodstock, who I think's on that Wembley bill on the 27th of April, will also be staking his claims for a fight with Sam Bowen.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think with Leon, I can certainly see from his point as to why he didn't take that fight. He was just coming off a loss. And, you know, you look at the Sam Bowen fighters, maybe that's going to be something bigger down the line. You know, Leon Woodstock can rebuild. Sam Bowen can get to wherever he's going to get to. And it could be a big fight. So you could understand why he could just turn it down like that. But one thing I'll say about those two is I was at the media workout this week. And I'll tell you what, it isn't one of those where they say hello to each other, or they're smiling at each other, they're friendly around each other, like Leon Woodstock and Zelford Barrett were. You know, that was a rivalry that was building up, but they were pals. You say I play FIFA with Leon on online and that. I think Leon Woodstock and Zelford Barrett actually did that. They're proper pals. Whereas Sam Bowen, I catch him kind of looking at Leon while Leon's hitting the bag. I hear Leon's trainer say, like, you know, there's little noises about the whole Bowen camp. I think generally Leon Woodstock's camp feels a bit disrespected at the manner of how Bowen is kind of dismissive of them. You can tell that in the kind of demeanour that's coming across, Steve. Have you picked up anything like that?
Yeah, and you can also, the ill feeling is genuine. Leon and Zelfa get on well. They're both very similar people. Both are single parent families. Both come from a rough council estate. They're street kids. They've got a lot in common. But obviously, if it comes to fight each other, they won't give a monkey what they do to the other. Whereas these two fellas, there's local rivalry. There's always that is a big thing, local rivalry, bragging rights. But also, They're completely different people. Leon lives with his mum, plays on, you know, his computer games all the time, you know, a bit of a street kid. Sam Bowen, he's only a couple, I think he, 2 or 3 years older, is he? Or not even that, I don't think.
He's 26, I think. I think they're about the same age. But Sam Bowen, he's got like a wife and kids and that.
A mortgage. He works full-time. So they're different people. They wouldn't mix in life outside of boxing. So they're completely different people. So they most probably, not just in boxing, they can't understand how the other one's living like that at that age. So you know, there's that adds to it. And they would have looked to you. And I can believe that when you said when you were at the workout in Leicester that they just glanced at each other. And when they glanced, it wasn't nice thoughts going through each mind.
Well, the man that is taking on Sam Bowen this weekend is the Scottish super featherweight champion, Jordan McCrory. He gets his crack at the British title. Steve gave him a call a little earlier in the week. And here's what he had to say.
Jordan, you've been a professional for getting on for 8 years now. You've had a few bumps on the road. Has it been a long time coming, this British title fight?
Yeah, pretty much, man. Yeah, like obviously I've always went to the future of the British title, but in the last couple of years it's kind of, it seemed a possibility, you know what I mean? So obviously, like last year we had the eliminators and stuff like that, supposedly to fight. And it never happened, but obviously now I'm getting a chance to obviously fight for the title.
How did it come about, the fight? Because wasn't it going to happen a few months ago and for some reason it never happened?
Yeah, well, I think you was meant for your last month, wasn't it? It runs about the same time, obviously, last month. And then I just get a phone call from Sam Gannon, my promoter. He was just saying, do you want to fight Sam Bowen for the British? And so it's happening next month, obviously, because I'm sure there was a lot of pullouts or something. There was a lot of boys injured. So obviously, they moved the date. I just said, yeah, right away. So that was about a month ago this weekend.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, you had those setbacks. You wasn't really in a position to say, tell them to come back in 6 months, were you?
Nah, not at all, nah. So you just, if the opportunity arises, and you need to try and take it into it when it comes up, if an opportunity comes up, or that's it, pretty much.
What was your opinion of Sam Bowen from what you've seen of him? Obviously, he hasn't got your experience, but he's unbeaten.
Yeah, he's an avoided fighter, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think, like, Frank Wong's got a lot of boys in the top 10 for this super featherweight division, so you would think maybe they've been asked before me, but obviously I've been asked and I've took a chance, so, but he's a good boxer, strong, big for the weight, so it'll be a hard night's work for me, but I honestly think I'll beat him on the night, definitely.
Why do you think you can upset Sam Bowen?
Just as you said, I've got the experience of obviously having over in Geneva the last fight there for a good boy. Obviously, all his counting that was there, but that doesn't really faze me, to be fair. But obviously, I feel like I'm a lot better boxer, like boxing ability and stuff like that. So it'll be a good clash of styles because he likes to obviously come forward and throw the bombs, doesn't he?
Just ask you about that trip to Geneva when you lost to King of Manzi, who was about 29-2 and storming up the rankings. Was the decision okay? Because I noticed two judges, one had it very wide, one quite wide, and another judge had it very close. Had he scored two draw rounds your way, you would have got a draw, or you would have drawn on his card.
Yeah, for sure. That was the one that had it very close was Robin Reed. No, I spoke to him after that, and he was just saying it was a lot closer than what it was. Like, I feel like there was a lot of rounds it was close and it could have went either way, but the other two judges were just obviously, because one was from Switzerland and the other one was from Germany, so when you go away and obviously fight there, you're obviously going to get that decision and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Was it one of those decisions where over here it might have gone your way or been a draw then?
Yeah, for sure. But it's over here, obviously, you've got the crowd and that behind you. Obviously, you're the home fighter. So you would think if it was a close fight, you'd obviously be your favourite boxer. So I definitely, if it was over here, I think it would have been a different story, to be fair.
Just, I mean, looking at your record, says a lot about you as a person. You know, you've come back from setbacks all the time. What's kept you going over the last few years? You know, you had a great start to your career, then you lost to Podusoft and then Ronnie Clark in quick succession, then you got winning again, lost to Moorhead, then you had another long winning streak and you lost to Kenny Gamazi.
Yeah, well, for me, it's obviously, right, at the start of my career, I was just kind of, obviously, I wasn't taking it serious, and I was still a young boy, and I wasn't dieting, I wasn't doing this right. Obviously, I kind of screwed the head the last couple of years, so, and I'm just pretty much screwed the head and just saying, right, that's it, man, I need to try and give it a right good bash. After I'm finished my boxing career, I can look back and go, like, ah, I did give it a good shot, so.
And I was reading in one of the Scottish newspapers, you only started boxing by accident. Didn't your mum send you to the gym just to make you a bit tougher from football, not to keep you off the streets? Most kids get sent to the gym by their mum because they're fighting on the streets. You weren't strong enough for football, I'm told.
Nah, I was small when I was playing football, so my mum obviously wanted to take me to boxing to try and toughen me up a wee bit to see how that would do if I obviously would help my football and stuff like that. And then I've obviously just started boxing, and I've just enjoyed that a lot more. I just you get some buzz, obviously, if you win a professional fight, a boxing fight. So I prefer the boxing.
Was you a good footballer? Was you any of the clubs at all, professional clubs?
Yeah, well, I was decent. I was at Millwall, but I was like 15, about 14, 15 that time. So you kind of, you know what it's like, you get to a certain age where you're coming up for 16 and you're done when you sign a professional contract, so you need to start training all the time. So the boxing training would obviously need to take a hit, so... I just ended up deciding to stick with the boxing and quit the football.
Any regrets? Because I'm sure you'd have earned more money playing in the Scottish Premier League.
Sometimes when I'm getting punched in the face, I regret it for sure, but nah, you can't live with regrets in your life, so that is what it is. I feel like I've made the right choice. I've done well out of boxing and out, so I'm happy with the choice for sure.
And you come from Cambuslang, near Motherwell, and that's where Scott Harrison comes from. Why is it so many boxers from that small area?
Maybe because it's rough.
How rough is it around there?
Nah, it's not like too far. Cambuslang's spot on, but Scott was the upcoming boxer. When I first started, he was still fighting in the Brayhead Arena and stuff like that. When I just started, and I used to train with his dad, Peter Harrison. He used to train with me in that, but... I saw with some boxer back in the day.
Special, wasn't he? Special. I mean, if he kept on the straight and narrow, who knows what he would have been?
He was close to the big fights with Pacquiao and stuff like that, but obviously it wasn't meant to be.
So if he was close to the big fights, how close do you think you can get to a world title fight?
That's it, man. This British title fight, I'm not obviously taking that. It's my world title fight, you know what I mean? So you need to take fights every time it comes. So this for me is a world title fight. Obviously, you need to win the fight in front of you. So the British title fight about 2 or 3 years ago when I got beat, obviously, I didn't expect obviously to fight for the British. So for me to fight for the British on BT Sport and obviously headline that against Sam Bones is unreal, to be fair. So it's class.
And I'm sure if you win, Frank Warren's got a whole load of super featherweights to try and get you, isn't he?
Aye, definitely, aye. So, Frank Warren's on a super featherweights. I'll fight in there, then. Obviously, I'm not sure that would stop before, but he's a ball merchant, to be fair, so that is what it is.
Yeah, what happened with that fight? I saw you were due to fighting for the WBO Europe. What went wrong there?
I was supposed to, obviously, fight him. Obviously, with that, I could eat in that, and then they obviously offered us it. I said yes, and then 2 or 3 weeks down the line, just said it wasn't happening, and then that was it pretty much. And then I was meant to obviously fight for the Eliminator last year, and then pulled out that as well, so I don't know what to do for that. That's what it is.
Well, that's this Saturday night at the Leicester Arena, live on BT Sports. Sam Bowen against Jordan McCrory for the British super featherweight title. You've got Nathan Gorman on there against a man that the Leicester crowd know. It's Kevin Kingpin Johnson. He's been brought in as a late replacement for Fabio Maldonado, who withdrew from the bout. You've got Sam Maxwell on there in a WBO European title fight as well. And it should be a good little show, Steve. What do you think of it?
I'm looking forward to it, Dev, and I'm looking forward to seeing Sam Bowen, because this is the sort of fight where you might think, is he already a long way above British level like he says he does? He just wants to move on to world level. We'll answer that sort of question. Nathan Gorman, can he get Kevin Kingpin out the way, where so few fighters, including Daniel Dubois, don't. A big ask, but if he did, it would be just as impressive as his big rival Daniel Dubois when he got Ravzvan Kajana out the way at the Royal Albert Hall a couple of weeks ago. Sam Maxwell's only had 10, 11 fights, but I think we both, and I know Frank Warren has been banging the drum for this kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore. He's 29, 30 years of age since he turned professional. He is a good fighter, and he's the one after this weekend I want to see kick on, and hopefully we'll get that fight with O'Hara Davis in the very, very near future.
Yeah, that's a shout. I met Sam Maxwell properly for the first time the other day at this media workout, and I'll tell you what, something's come across there which I wasn't overly familiar with before. I've seen little glimpses, but he's hilarious. He's really funny, and that needs to come out a little bit more. I think he's a really entertaining guy. I think you scratch away a little bit once he gets more accomplished in front of cameras and stuff. You'll be seeing a lot more from him. But he was talking about how he wants to fight O'Hara Davis, but O'Hara Davis currently, he doesn't want to fight me because he says I'm not entertaining, and kind of made a sad face. So it's it will be amusing to see that rise, and hopefully he can put in a good performance on Saturday night. Zelfa Barrett, by the way, he's asked me to let everyone know he's going to be there. He's going to be at this show, so he'll be watching the Leon Woodstocks. He'll be watching the Sam Bowens. I'm sure he's going to go to Wembley on April 27th. He's going to be watching the Archie Sharps of this world. This man is watching. He's coming. He keeps warning me he is coming. Steve, there's a real place for Zelfa Barrett. Once he gets his injury sorted and he comes back, he's got a real place in this super featherweight division, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, I think I last spoke to him a few weeks ago. The plan was for him to box on a show somewhere. It might be on Steve Wood or a Pat Barrett show in April, and then go back on to, you know, the big BT cards. We need him in the mix because, you know, he's a good fighter, and he wants to show he's a lot better than that Ronnie Clark fight. But just briefly, you touched on a point with Sam Maxwell there. He is a very funny kid, a lovely person. But when he does interviews, every time he's so nervous about doing them, believe it or not, and he'll say afterwards, did that sound okay? Did I sound stupid? He says that he's too conscious when he does it. And the only time I ever criticise him is that he's so conscious about how he comes across. And he doesn't come across bad at all in interviews. He comes across very well.
And actually, just saying that, so he was at the media workout. He was on quite late on, and he was just watching. And I said, oh, you're right, like, you're going to be on in probably about, you know, 40, 45 minutes. He's like, yeah, I'm just seeing what the other guys do. Like, I haven't really done one of these before, so I don't want anyone to kind of laugh at me kind of thing. I was like, this is a guy who shared the ring with Vasyl Lomachenko. He got very high as an amateur, former, you know, part of the GB setup, and he's nervous about doing a media workout. So I certainly see that, Steve.
Oh, he is. And, you know, he switched on the Christmas lights in his home borough, Highton, just outside Liverpool. And he was almost, when they rang him up to do it, around a lot of footballers have come from that area who played for Liverpool, Everton. He actually said to the council when they asked him, what do you want me for?
Oh, really?
It tells you all you need to know, you know, what the sort of person he is, how there's no ego there, but also tells you why he is so shy about a lot of things. And it's when you speak off cameras, you see the other side of him.
Yeah, exactly that. Well, that's this Saturday night. That's live on BT Sport. But Steve, tell me about Box Nation. You got some Box Nation action too, haven't you?
Yeah, we got just before people tune in or go to the Leicester show, we're on air from 3 till about 7:30. We've got a 5-fight card from Russia. The main fight is Shavkat Rakhimov against Rafhiwa Maimou, IBO World Super Featherweight title defence. For those not familiar with Rakhimov, he's had 13 fights, 10 KOs. His last two fights, he's hammered Robinson Castellanos and former world champion Malcolm Klassen, which is a good on your CV for 13 fights. And I'd say after the big Russian five, Bivol, Kovalev, Gassiev, Baturbiev and Povetkin, who's just clinging in there, he's the next one in line. So you're talking about a really good fighter. And there's a really interesting 10-round cruiserweight fight on the bill. Alexei Yegorov, a Russian who you may not know a lot about, he's had 7 wins, 6 KOs. And they brought in the South African Thomas Hoesthuizen face in. Hoesthuizen has had a lot of, social issues away from boxing. Yeah. Never quite fulfilled his potential, Hoesthuizen. He's most probably the most underachieving South African boxer in history. That's how much talent he's got. But that is still a tough fight for Yegorov at this stage of his career.
Well, I like this. I like this a lot. This is a, you know, Box Nation have always been the channel to show the you know, the Kovalevs of this world, the Golovkins of this world, as they are on the come up, and then suddenly a few years later, Golovkins on a big pay per view shows, Kovalevs on big pay per view shows, fights of the year kind of shows, and Box Nation show these guys first. So I'm looking forward to seeing this next wave of Eastern Europeans coming through, and I'm sure they're going to be just as good as the fellas that have preceded them. Steve, what time you on air?
3 o'clock, and we should be finished by 7:30, so you can switch over and watch the Leicester show. Or if you live in Leicester, you can finish that and drive up to and watch all the big fights at the Leicester Arena, or Morningside Arena, as they call it, should I say.
That is what they call it, the home of the Leicester Raiders, the basketball team. Well, they'll be putting the balls away and getting the gloves out on Saturday night at the Leicester Arena. It should be a good Saturday for a boxing fan. Steve, now I've seen you a couple of times this week. You seem to be carrying something around with you, a kind of a weight on your shoulders. Something just doesn't seem right. It's since the weekend. I can tell you're not your usual self. So I've got to ask, what you talking about, Lillis?
What I'm talking about is Mikey Garcia. I thought long and hard about this little moan, Dev, because Garcia is a top, top fighter. He's proven that. But that was an absolute no-show against Errol Spence the other night. You can't find enough adjectives to describe how good Errol Spence was in that ring on the evening. And, you know, me and yourself talked on the podcast last week, and we expected him to win comfortably. You know, the word you used was hipsters suddenly had this swing to Garcia. But I couldn't see that. But just as much as I couldn't see that, I couldn't see the no-show from Mikey we got there. I thought he was absolutely awful in there. As good as Spence was, he was awful. And what his brother trains him, you know, what were they doing? Because they just ran out of what ideas. Even if, you know, you think, well, it's all gone here around round 10. Let's just go for broke. If we get knocked out, we get knocked out. And that was just a poor, poor show. I don't blame him for taking the fight. I think he got $3 million. It'll end up about $8 to $10 million by the time all the money and pay-per-view has got added up. But that was an absolute stinker of a performance from him. And you wonder now what he's going to do. I mean, he still thinks he can be a five-weight world champion. He's clearly not big enough for the good welterweights. And if he goes down to lightweight, he's calling for the Lomachenko fight. That's still a great fight, but can you see Top Rank wanting to give him that fight now? I think they might have tried to get that together before. And he's in a position, if he goes back to lightweight, there's also young guns like Teofimo Lopez coming up. So he's going to be going towards his mid-30s pretty soon. You know, he's in a bit of a hole now. You know, he got the money the other night, but that five-weight world champion, I think that's going to be a big ask.
Yeah, I mean, there's the whole daring to be great narrative, which is fantastic. But for me, there's a feeling that he's actually taken a little bit of gloss off of his name in that loss. Amir Khan, right, he dared to be great against Canelo Alvarez. He had some success in that fight, and then Canelo did what Canelo did, you know. But that was part of the entertainment of it. Khan was kind of walking on a high wire kind of thing, and it was, oh, is he going to fall off? And yeah, he did. With Mikey Garcia, what frustrated me the most was at the end of every round, he raised his fist in celebration as well. And this is a round that he's just been battered around. Yeah. He's had no success, and he's raising his hand in celebration.
It was just, you know, and it was. I was really disappointed in him. I just, he was awful. You know, and it was really, although I expected Spence to win comfortably, I was still, you know, stoked for the fight. And you know what? I'm not just mad with, you know, you look at it now and you go, oh, you know, this is hindsight. And after the event, I look at how Heyman and Schaefer are around Garcia. They put him in that fight. You know, you're thinking, well, you know, did you do that just for the money? Would Bob Arum put Lomachenko in with Bud Crawford? And not a chance in a million years, would he? Because, you know, he would know Crawford is far too big.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think you could have expected such a poor performance from Garcia. I think, you know, the form line heading into it, everything he'd done at the lower weights, there's the Mexican warrior element to it as well. You wouldn't expect him to just perform as he did. But also, I don't want to take too much away from Errol Spence
because he was brilliant. He was brilliant. Exactly. You know, he was brilliant. But it's like a lot of things in life, in football, cricket, any sport, as great as some people are at times, you've got to look how bad the other team were. I mean, you know, quick analogy would be the West Indies in their T20 matches against England when they were bowled out for 70 and 40 a few weeks ago. That was awful, as good as England bowlers were. It's taking nothing away from Errol Spence, who showed what a great fighter he is and why people were excited about him for a reason. You just expect more. You'd expect more if from a challenger who was 40-1 to beat Spence, wouldn't you?
Perhaps so. Well, give me a quick line on what do you think Spence is going to do next? He's the IBF world champion. He's got, you know, Keith Thurman on his side. Keith Thurman's a PBC fighter. Danny Garcia, Sean Porter is the WBC champion. What does he do next, Errol Spence?
I'd like to see the Thurman fight at welterweight. I don't want to see the Pacquiao fight at all. That would be a horrible watch. But they're good, you know.
Do big numbers that fight, though.
Hey, Spence Garcia, did over 350,000 buys. If that's true, it doesn't sound a lot, but that's good figures for two guys that they're not mainstream names. We in the boxing trade, we know how good they are, but that's decent figures. So the Pacquiao fight wouldn't shock me, but it's not one I'd like to see as a boxing fan. I'd like to see the Thurman fight, and then he could maybe move up a week, fight him, and Jarrett Hurd would be a good fight.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully they can. Yeah, that's a great fight. I see Jarrett Hurd moving up in weight at some point as well, so maybe it's a catchweight contest. But that is a great fight. And let's not forget, of course, Terence Crawford. And hopefully he can get some of these big fights as well. He's got Amir Khan coming up, of course, on April 20th. He's a big favourite in that fight. Let's see if he can get past Khan. But after that fight, I wonder what he's got in store. Good rant, Steve. Not a lot of love for Mikey Garcia this week, huh?
No, hey, look, he's a good fighter, and I'd love him to prove me wrong, come back and go and eventually win all these world titles again. I just thought that was really disappointing. And you know what? There's young guns coming through now. You know, people now are going to expect something. Mikey needs to turn his career around by doing something special in the ring again.
Before we go, let me pick your brains on Deontay Wilder versus Dominic Brazil, WBC World Heavyweight Championship fight, which is scheduled for May. It was announced earlier this week. What do you make of it all?
I don't think it's the worst fight in the world. I have seen some people actually tipping Brazil, which I find bizarre, to say the least. I find it hard to make a case for him. Perhaps I'm still thinking of, you know, when he got beat by Anthony Joshua 3 years ago. Since then, there's, you know, he's had wins against Ugonar, Eric Molina, Carlos Negron. Is, you know, three fights in almost 3 years. That isn't, you need a bit more than that to be rated with a chance to take on Deontay Wilder. I mean, Wilder gets a lot of stick for everything he does wrong, but I don't think he's the worst champion that people make him out to be by any stretch. Okay, he had that get out of jail draw against Tyson Fury when he was very lucky, but we saw what a dangerous man he is in that fight in rounds 9 and round 12 when Fury sensationally got off the canvas. I don't think he's as bad as what he's seen in that time since Joshua beat Brazil. Just look who Wilder's fought since, you know. Bermain Stiverne, the one round blowout, but he's come from a tough fight against Luis Ortiz where he dug deep again, bit on his gum shield and got the stoppage in 10 rounds, and the Tyson Fury. I think that is far too much for the likes of Dominic Brazil when they meet in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I don't see I mean, the only way Brazil for me wins this is just because, oh, it's heavyweight boxing and, you know, anything can happen at any time. And you've seen Deontay Wilder get rocked and get hurt by you know, the likes of Eric Molina, Joanne Duapas. Tyson Fury rocked him a couple of times as well. So there is always that avenue there. There's always the question. You see Deontay Wilder, you know, he's got amazing power. He's got very skinny legs, and you think maybe that's at some point that's gonna show. But I think Wilder gets a lot of unnecessary stick. If you look at his last two fights, he did take on Tyson Fury. He did take on Luis Ortiz. And the Ortiz fight, for me, that was the epitome of high risk, low reward. So, I think he comes into a lot of unnecessary stick.
Yeah, I was going to go back to the Ortiz fight. You know, we saw the power, you know, we saw his weaknesses against Fury, what he isn't good at, how he can Fury could outbox him. We saw how he could hit, but we saw in the Ortiz fight how tough he is. And you mentioned fights there when he's rocked. So that makes people say he hasn't got a good chin. You can say just as much, his chin might be suspect, but he's shown what a tough son of a gun he needs to be at times. He's okay, Wilder. He's not one of the greatest world champions of all time, but there's been plenty worse, and some of the stick he gets is not warranted.
Well, this Saturday night, BT Sport, Leicester Arena. It's Nathan Gorman against Kevin Kingpin Johnson. It's Sam Bowen against Jordan McCrory, a defence of his British super featherweight title. That's from the Leicester Arena. Box Nation have got, well, a cracking little Russian show as well at 3 o'clock from Russia with Glove. Remember to tweet us any comments at Steve Lillis, at Sony Dev, at The Boxing Pod, and come and follow us. You know, you're all welcome. Tell you what, leave us a review. 5 stars only, please. We'll be back next week.